Thank you, Lord. Well, I tell you what, turn in your Bibles to Luke, the ninth chapter, the ninth chapter of Luke. The ninth chapter of Luke. For right now, I just want to read one verse to you. Just one verse for now, and that's verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, let me read it again to you. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." I think you realize that today is Palm Sunday. And of course, this week is known as Holy Week because it leads up to the time of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that. Had it not been for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be most miserably lost. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we just read where, and my subject, if you need a subject, my subject is triumphant entry. That's two words. Triumphant entry. Now, Jesus had 1 week, 7 days from Palm Sunday of ministry left on this earth. Think about that for a moment. He had done so many miracles. He had touched so many lives. He had healed the sick, raised the dead. And of course, he wasn't done yet. He still had a week to go. But he had done so many miracles. And to think that there's 1 week left and it will be finished in two ways. His ministry physically on earth will be finished, and salvation, redemption for mankind will be completed. Amen. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He did everything that his Father sent him to do. Glory to God. But here's the thing, that he did not back away from doing it. He was, let me read verse 51 to you again. Get this in your spirit. "And it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Jesus was determined to finish the calling upon his life. You still here? Now I want you to just turn forward to the 13th chapter of Luke and listen to what Jesus said. This is the 13th chapter, verse 33. Well, I'll start reading at verse 31. Back up to verse 31. It says, on that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, tell that fox, tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Now look at verse 33. Nevertheless, listen to what he's saying now. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Now, as a little side note here, you know this already, I believe. They tried to kill Jesus a number of times, didn't they? Glory to God. They tried to kill him a number of times, but they couldn't do it. And sometimes Jesus would just disappear right out of the midst of them. Like God would just translate him. And I won't dare go into it today, but I just want to. My wife and I, one day, I'm not sure if it'll be a Wednesday or a Sunday or some other day, but I want us to share some things with you. God is an awesome God. Now we've been pastoring this church. This coming June will be 35 years. Yeah, it'll be 35 years this coming June. But there's still some things that you don't know as far as our walk with God and our experiences with God. Especially with her, a lot of times I tell things in the course of my ministering, sometimes some things that happen to me. But, we were talking the other day, and if anybody asks you after service what, just tell them wait, okay? But I want her to share an experience she had with the Lord. Amen. God is awesome, folks. And this is not the time to shy away. This is not the time to run away. This is the time to get close to God. This is the time to walk with God. And by the way, this particular experience that I'm thinking about now didn't just happen. It happened years and years and years ago. But we were married at the time, but it happened. And so I'm going to get her to share that. But we gotta keep moving forward. We can't back up and we can't stop. You hear me? We can't back up and we can't stop. Notice what Jesus said. He says, I'm not dying outside of Jerusalem. It's time for me to go. But I'm not leaving here. Because you know what? The Father had already ordained what was about to happen. The prophets had prophesied about it. And Jesus was committed to the will of the Father, the will of the Father for his life. And so the devil tried to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. He tried. Everybody say he tried, but he couldn't do it. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus said himself, no man takes my life. You don't take my life from me. I give it. I give it. I offer it up. You're not going to take my life, and you certainly not going to short circuit what God has called me to do. Why don't you make this confession right now for yourself personally? Say, Satan, you will not short circuit what God has called me to do. And now let me say this before we move on. Jesus faced Jerusalem without fear. He knew what was waiting on him when he got there. But he says, I got to go to Jerusalem and nobody's stopping me. Amen. Herod certainly weren't going to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And like I told you, Jesus was determined to do the will of his Father. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50, 50th chapter of Isaiah. See, the prophets prophesied about all this. Isaiah chapter 50. And we'll begin reading at verse 6. Let's look at this prophecy. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. That was what was waiting on Jesus in Jerusalem. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, see, now before I finish verse 7, do you see something here? Jesus, first of all, Jesus knew the word, didn't he? Amen. I mean, when the devil tempted him, he put the word of God on him, didn't he? Now, Jesus didn't have the New Testament, but he had the Old Testament. So Jesus knew the word of God, and Jesus used the word of God. Matter of fact, he told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he went on to quote some other scriptures to him during the time of temptation. But he said, the Lord God will help me. Jesus going to Jerusalem with the confidence of knowing that his Father is going to help him. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Whatever the devil had planned for me is not going to work. He's going to think he's got me. It's going to look like he's got me. It's going to look like he's won. The disciples was concerned. Many that followed him was concerned. But Jesus says, therefore, I will not be disgraced. And because of that, because of his confidence in his Father God, because of his confidence in his Father's word, he said, therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He knew he would rise again. Amen. Let me say that again. He knew that he would rise again. He knew that the devil and his demons could not keep him bound in hell. He would rise again. He knew this is not going to be comfortable. We know the story of him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked the Father, if there's any other way, you know, let this cup pass from me. But then he quickly said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he had set his face like flint. And we saw it in Luke. He says, I must go to Jerusalem. That's where I'm going to die, in Jerusalem. That's where I'm going to be crucified, in Jerusalem. Are you still here? Now, turn back to the book of Luke. This time to chapter 19. And I'll just begin reading at verse 28. This is concerning the triumphant entry. Verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, Whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever, a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosened the coat, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosened the coat? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Glory to God. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the coat, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hallelujah. Now, I'm still on the same subject, but this time I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 21. Now, we've read some of Luke's version. Let's go and read some of Matthew's version of the same thing, all right? Matthew chapter 21, and I'll just pick it up at verse 1 here. It says, now this is the same story, but it's Matthew's version. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." Now, Luke put emphasis on the colt. Matthew put emphasis on the, records the donkey and the colt. "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the," now listen to this, "that was spoken by the prophets, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude, now, before I proceed on, one of the reasons that I wanted to read both Luke's version and Matthew's version is that Luke brings out some things that Matthew don't, and Matthew brings out some things that Luke don't. Amen? So now let's keep reading verse 8. "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, I want you to notice something here before I read on. Notice it said that not only did they spread their clothes, let me read verse 8. "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road," which was palm branches. And that's where we get Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. But now I want you to pay especially attention to something here. Notice, and I'll continue reading, but notice here that they spread their clothes. They set him on the donkey or the colt, and then they spread their clothes. They spread branches in the road, palm branches, and they were praising him. They were adoring him. They were magnifying him, exalting him as the Messiah, the one sent by God. Amen? Are you still with me? All right, let's read on just a little bit further. "Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying," this is verse 9, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now notice, they were praising him. They're just magnifying God. They were throwing their clothes, their branches. They had placed him upon a donkey. Things were going pretty good, weren't they? They were doing what they should have done. But the sad part about it is some of those same people that was praising him and adoring him and laying palm leaves and palm branches before him would be some of the very same ones that would later on say, "Crucify him." Jesus knew this. Jesus knew it. I want to read something else to you real quick. Y'all got a few more minutes? I want you to get this picture before we leave today. I'm going back to Luke. And remember, as they were going into Jerusalem, they were praising him and so forth. And when we get, I'm back at Luke 39. So as he was going into Jerusalem, now I'm back at Luke 39. I'm sorry, Luke 19, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You see that? Luke 19:39. I'm sorry about that. Luke 19:39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." First of all, they were jealous. They weren't getting the praise. The attention was not on them. But I like what Jesus said. "But he answered and said to them," get a hold of this, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Did you get that? Let me read it to you again. The Pharisees said, "Man, rebuke this crowd. They shouldn't be doing all this. They shouldn't be making all this noise. They should not be fussing over you the way they are." But you know what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees? And I'm going to read verse 40 again. Jesus was saying to them, "I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the only begotten Son of God." And that's the reason Jesus said, he answered them and said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, here's what's sad, though, folks. Even the stones know that he is Lord of all. Even the rocks know that he is Lord of all. Why don't some of us act like we know that he is the Lord of all? Jesus is Lord of all. And I'm here to tell you, my brother and my sister, I am determined. No rock will have to praise him because I won't. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, here's the thing. And I'm going to close. I didn't plan to minister to you long. But here's the thing. They were praising him and honoring him because he is the Messiah. But they were still thinking physical, if I can say it that way. They were not really being spiritual. Well, Pastor, what you mean? I mean, weren't they praising him as the Messiah? Absolutely. And they should. They should have, because that's exactly who he is. But they was praising him because they thought that he was about to deliver them from the Roman captivity. It was all physical, folks. They wanted to be set free from the Romans. That's not the reason Jesus came. They was looking for physical deliverance from captivity, you know, from being under the authority of the Roman government, and Jesus came to set them free spiritually. Let me tell you something. When you are free spiritually, you are free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you are what? You are free indeed. People forget that. Even many in the church forget that. That's what's more important. That first of all, you get free spiritually. When you get free spiritually, the rest of it will take care of itself. Because God said, I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll watch over you. I'll protect you. I'll deliver you. But the spiritual has to come first. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus came to set them free spiritually. They couldn't grab a hold of that. But I'm so glad to know that God has not finished with Israel. He is still dealing with Jerusalem. Praise God. Now, as I get ready to close this out, I want to read you two scripture references. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to leave these, this reference and one other reference with you. I want you to understand, Jesus was born to die. And he knew that. As he was heading towards Jerusalem, he knew, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Listen at this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him, or from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Hallelujah. When we were yet sinners, Jesus came to die for us. So what those folks did not understand, as Jesus was coming to Jerusalem and later would be crucified, they didn't understand he came to set them free spiritually. But it was not just for them, it was for the whole world. That's the reason John 3:16, we should all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Even when we were sinners, even when we were ungodly, he died for us. Now, having said that, finally, go to Acts chapter 1. This is where I'm closing out. Acts chapter 1. Glory to God. Even after Jesus' resurrection, listen to this. Even after Jesus' resurrection, there were many that still didn't understand why he came. They had seen him crucified, nailed to the cross, died, buried, rose again, and they still didn't get it, some of them. And this is the example of that. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, what they was asking him, Lord, at this time, will you now? Okay, you didn't do it before you died. Now that you died and you rose again, and we've witnessed the power of God in your resurrection, so now, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus' response was, and he, verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. You can imagine someone going, oh, man. Again? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. But, everybody say, but. In other words, he said, now this is what I want you to focus on, boys. This is what I want you to focus on. Let's get over into the spiritual here. God's going to take care of the natural. It's going to happen. Deliverance is coming. But right now, I want you here in the spiritual. So Jesus said, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and not just in Jerusalem, but in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus said, that's what's on my heart right now. That's what I want you to do. You walk with me. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. You go preach the gospel and get folks set free. That's the reason I walked into Jerusalem, obeying my Father. Because I want to see men and women, boys and girls, set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he said, I'm empowering you to get the job done. And the same applies to us today. He's empowering us to go forth and get the job done. Amen? So Palm Sunday, Jesus' final 7 days of ministry, which included his death, burial, and his resurrection. Glory to God. Isn't God awesome? And finally, Jesus did it for two reasons. He loved his Father, and he obeyed his Father. The second reason is he loved you and me. He did it for us. Glory to God. Amen. Give him praise for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you.